welcome to episode 363 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. So, M's, let's go around the cooler and tell listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Joey, we'll start with you this week.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83, and you are all living in a fantasy. I'm just going to start adding stuff every week.
I love that.
Megan.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg. I was going to try to say something from, like, something Miranda would say, and just like that, like, I feel like Meg Ryan.
Well, my quote was a Miranda quote, but it was from
I figured it was, yes. I thought it was, but, like, so that's why I figured I'd counter it with, like, I feel like I'm Meg Ryan.
And again, I am Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Happy Oscars nomination eve, guys, as we were recording.
Yes. Also known as Joey, how are you?
Stressed out day of the year.
Which is ridiculous because it's not like you're nominated every year.
I know.
Only that one year you were nominated.
I know.
For best supporting actress. Yeah.
lost to Marissa Tomei, that bitch.
Since most people who are listening to this will listen to it after the nominations, I am outraged that insert actor's name was not nominated.
Let's just say it now. It's Kristen Stewart.
Oh, I'm not outraged.
I mean, fine.
She's so very good.
Very good. In the yes. Role.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is how voters are. Maybe voters just aren't watching Spencer. I mean, there was a tweet that went sort of viral from Ann Thompson over the weekend that she said she talked to an Academy member and they just decided they didn't want to watch it. And they didn't. They have no
idea.
I saw
that tweet. Yeah. Yeah.
There's something that I wish people would take into consideration is, like, all the people that are really big fans of that performance. And I think she's good in the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm a little less enthusiastic about the movie itself, but, you know, everyone always says, like, she's so good. Imagine, like, not nominating that performance. And something that I feel like a lot of people on film Twitter don't understand, it was like, that is not the only reason, number one, why they vote for stuff. And number two, they can have a different opinion than you.
Right. Yeah.
And they don't watch everything. I mean, you know, in a perfect world, the members of the Academy, all 10,000 members of them, would watch every single film that comes out in a year and be able to know explicitly what's great and everything, but that's just not realistic because guess what? They're working people. You know, they're not necessarily the film Twitter types who will watch 9 movies in one day at a film festival. They are average, ordinary people who go to dinner, who go out with friends, who go to work, who come home and want to watch a movie. And chances are it's not going to be something dark and long, like maybe Drive My Car or Flea, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be Power of the Dog. It's going to be something they've heard about. It's going to be Belfast. It's going to be West Side Story, hopefully, if they had screens. But of course, they don't have screens, so it won't be West Side Story. Anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so speaking of bitter, today we are discussing...
speaking of bitter?
Yes.
That's a great segue.
We are discussing the entirety of the first season, presumably first season. I know they haven't announced another one, but I suspect we're going to see more. But this new season of Sex and the City, which has been renamed and just like that. And Joey, I'm going to expect you to do a lot of talking because I know that you wanted to engage in fisticuffs on Twitter on Sunday morning to defend it with four mimosas in you.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
I was at brunch and my dog is running around. You hear a little clip clopping of my dog. I like the show a lot. I'm a fan of it. I started yelling at people at brunch because and this is a natural thing to do. We are all bringing our baggage and our feelings of the original Sex and the City mm-hmm. to this new show. I will say, after you know, the first five episodes, you shouldn't really be doing that anymore. It's not called Sex and the City for a reason. It's a different show. And I got really defensive of the characters, and I got defensive of what the show is doing, to the point where I yelled very loudly, "I will make a scene."
Wow.
Too late.
I know. It didn't help that there was...
I have it, you made a scene, though, to be honest.
That really should be the name of my Joey Moser, comma, scene maker.
Notorious FHA.
And scene. What did you say?
I said Notorious FAG, your book title. I can't say that word, so.
I give you specifically permission.
I'm still not going to say it.
I actually guested on another podcast.
curls are clutched.
Oh, you would have been right in a brunch. It's just a... I think the show is doing something completely different. I don't think it's perfect. No, I think it does. It made a lot of sort of bold choices, especially with its characters. But I feel like, and I'll be honest, I feel like they're, it made strong choices and it changed the course of a lot of the characters. Mm. One probably most in particular, which is a big level of discourse with the fans. If this were, you know, continue on to a second season, I imagine that it would be a little bit more in line with what people are expecting from a Sex and the City, because they're sort of positioning it that way with how the first season ended. So I don't know. I'm a fan of it. I like what it's doing. It's doing something right, because we're all talking about it every week. So,
well, I think part of the problem is the pilot episode of this new season or this new series, whatever you want to call it, the pilot episode, I think, lacked a lot. I don't think it had that sharpness, that crispness, that vitality that the Sex and the City show did have. Granted, I understand it is a very different show. It is a more mature show. It is an older show. It is a more dramatic show. But I still think that the writing on that first one, they needed some time to get themselves into a groove. You start to see that around three or four, where they start to find the groove. And then I would argue that the back half of the show is a bit, it is a version of Sex and the City that has grown up and is no longer obsessed with sex, you know? But I think that first episode didn't do it any favors, because I don't think the first episode was very good.
Well, the first episode is jarring.
Samantha, I think that is the jarring thing.
Yeah, it's
and
kind of
big stuff.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, it's just that it is jarring, because there was sort of no easing into that transition.
Yeah.
Because that's something that the fans of the show were very concerned with the entire time. And they sort of didn't get to have their peace with that because of the first episode ends so dramatically.
It's a really sour note when a character that people have grown to, you know, you may not love him, but you're at least very comfortable with him. Then you get a voiceover, and just like that, Big was dead.
Right.
That,
yeah.
That just. And she's not trying to call the police. Or the ambulance. She's, you know, sobbing on him, and there he is. He's still alive when she gets there. But you know, it just set it off on a very weird note.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think one of the problems might be that this season felt very experimental, mm-hmm. and like they didn't count on there being, like they. I think it felt like they counted on it might bomb. And so I feel like they crammed a bunch of stuff into 10 episodes that could be spaced out into two seasons. Like, frankly, like, you could have had more of a buildup with Miranda, that she's like, you know, I don't know, as a woman, to discover that you're one, that you don't love your husband anymore, and two, that maybe that you might be queer, is pretty, like, huge, I think. Mm-hmm. And so there's no, like, And not that you want it to be like a whole season, but like it could have been her like looking for other people or, you know, I don't know. Or I know a lot of people said that she could have asked for an open marriage with Steve to see if that would have worked, or, you know, she didn't really try to fix the marriage. That's the other thing. And that's not like her. Even though I feel like that relationship has always kind of like sucked in some way. But well, like, yeah, I don't know, but
I do think a lot of that has to do with the fact that there is time passing between each episode. They're not sort of linear. There's, you know, especially in the last episode, I think like 4 months passed or 6 months or something like that. Or one
it
of
takes
them
place in the whole season takes place in the course of a year.
In a year?
Yes.
Oh, that's
because she says at the end, it's or her when she's visiting with Big's brother, he's like, well, it's been almost a year since he died.
But then it takes another leap forward because she writes the book about it.
I think she, well, yes, it does that. You mean like in the, I think it's like the seventh episode or something where it's like, where they showed the passage of time, which then I thought was a year, but then I think it's just 3 months because that's when Miranda had sent a text message to Che. Che never responded. And then when Miranda sees them, they're like, oh, like, well, how long does it take to respond to a text? And I think Miranda says something like 3 months or I forget.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I just feel like they crammed in so much, like that they were just kind of like, let's do this, this and this. Like, because we don't like, not that you, I guess you want to drag out to like her coming out to be the end of season two or anything. But I just felt like there's no period where she's reflecting on her marriage, where she's going to try to, she's acting like a teenager, which I think is actually really interesting. The fact that she's, I've never seen this character so gung-ho about somebody before. And like Che, I think this is probably going to be controversial, but I think Che is the biggest fuckboy to ever be on this series. And I say that not as saying that, like, that is not a non, not a gender specific thing. It's just the term fuckboy, because they are just like the things they do, I can see from a mile away this is going to end poorly. The like, I smoke a lot of weed. Do you ever notice that Che is never at any of the events with the girls? Like, or like even shows up to support Miranda for those big events that like you would think somebody who loved you would support you for? There's, I think Che is a narcissist, but. But I think
they say they are a narcissist. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. But I think that's the problem though, is that like that we're not getting to see Miranda have this thought process of like, oh, my marriage is imploding. Oh, like all it takes is Che to make this like, okay, I'll just leap onto Che. And then also I'm an alcoholic, but no, I'm not an alcoholic. Like it was just a lot thrown in there. And then it's almost like I would also question whether they were writing it as they went. Like, let's have her be an alcoholic. Oh wait, let's not have her to be an alcoholic. Let's have her date Che.
So let's back up a bit and let's talk about before we start into Che and to get into the Che of it all. Let's talk about what worked for you.
I do think a lot worked. Okay, I would say I think that they had to kill Big. I think that's a great way to start this up again.
That was allegedly supposed to happen in the third movie.
Yes, I remember hearing about that. I also love, is it Seema? Is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love her.
She's great.
Yeah, I think she's so interesting. Mm-hmm. I love that this show is, you know, as a single woman myself, I'm often told, what are you going to do when you're older and you don't have kids to take care of you? What are you going to do? You're going to be alone. No one's going to take care of you. I mean, I've heard that multiple times. And to see these women banding together to help each other is very empowering and inspiring, especially when Carrie like breaks her hip or like or hurts her hip or she has like a birth defect.
Her back
or something.
Issue. No, she's got a back. Yeah.
Yeah. When that happens and they all band together to help her, and I feel like a lesser show would have been like, oh, I should have had kids or whatever, you know, to help me. And like they would have explored that issue, but it's never talked about. And I love that. It's just we band together. That's what we do. You're our family and we're here for you. And I thought that was really great. And I also love seeing Seema, who's a woman in her 50s, single and still looking for love. And I love when she called out Carrie, like that was kind of insensitive. And I also think that Carrie has forgotten how to be single, which is really interesting as the like quintessential single woman. There is a lot that I like about it. Yeah, those are a few of the things.
Yeah, I liked all those things too. I think the main thing that is the draw here for me is Sarah Jessica Parker. It is. It's her performance. I mean, this is the character for which she will always be known. And she knows who Carrie Bradshaw is. She understands every aspect of this character, and no matter where the writing takes her, she always makes it believable. That second episode is where when she's grieving, when she's trying to figure out the memorial service, when, you know, the scene, you know, when she has the reaction against the flowers that are not supposed to be there, mm-hmm. but very small moments, but she carries it off beautifully. I think it's really just, and like, I don't think she's going to be Emmy nominated or anything like that, but I think it's just really a true class performance.
I agree. I love seeing her back too. It's like, it's just, yeah, I agree.
Something else that worked for me. I mean, I at first I thought she was going to be grating, but, Charlotte kind of grew on me, and her relationship with, her husband, whose name I have completely forgotten now, Harry. There are things I didn't like about the storyline, and we can get to that in a minute. But I felt like Kristen did a really good job of carrying it all off. Or Brooke, sorry. Brooke.
Wait, who's Brooke?
Wait, what's her name? Charlotte. Kristen.
Sorry. I love
Brooke. She played
Brooke
in, I think she played Brooke in Melrose Place. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Yes. Sorry, that's where my brain is going.
What a reference. I love
it. See, I was a Melrose Place child, so.
I'm jealous. I never got to do that.
I thought when I was younger, when Melrose Place, I was like, that show's too sexy. I can't watch it. I was like 8, and I was like, no, thank you. No.
See, that's how I thought about Silk Stockings. I remember my parents talking about Silk Stockings, and they were like, change the channel when it comes on, because I wasn't allowed. It was like, like, they're just like orgasms in like the opening song, I remember. Like, well, not really, but like orgasmic sounds. And I'm like, what is going on?
She's really happy.
But you know, it was by the end of the show, I was glad it was there. I'm anxious to see another season, and I do. I want two things out of this world before I die. One of them is I want Fleetwood Mac to get back together, and for them to put aside their differences with Lindsey Buckingham and realize that they only worked well together as a 5-person band.
Yes.
And put out one more great album. And I want Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker to put their things aside.
These are your death wishes? What is going on?
No. Not my death wishes. It's just two things I want to have happen before I die. I have lots of things I want to have happen, but those are two things of the many list.
Morbid.
No. Look, I spared you the story of what I did in the woods this weekend.
Oh my God, I forgot. You should tell it anyway.
No. I'll listen to that offline. But I do, okay, one, I feel bad that you're never going to get the Sarah Jessica Parker, Kim Cattrall reunion.
I know.
But, we can get to one of the things I don't like. But Joey, what did you like before I start veering off?
Yeah, I mean, I actually, one of my favorite things about it, the thing that started the whole argument at brunch is because the seedling is, I proposed, and I know, okay, I know Charlotte does some really stupid stuff this season. Like the whole thing with like mistaking one black person for another, that is cringeworthy.
But that could happen for white people too. Like, I've done that with white people, but I feel like the way it is, I get it. Like, I know what you mean. It's, yeah, it was cringy,
let me just defend that for a second though, before you jump off. That is a much better way to tackle race than the way that Miranda did in the first episode. It is.
I buy that for her character, though. I believe she. I actually think that I understand what you mean, like that, because everyone was talking about that moment. But I actually think that is true to the character of who she is.
Of Miranda.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it wasn't very well. I think that the scenario is very true. I just don't think it was very well written, and it just came off just super cringe.
Yeah. Well, right, I guess I felt bad for Kristen Davis in that scene, because I thought that, like, one, she was like far away when she saw her and then went up and was like, oh wait, it's not you. Well, like, yeah. Wasn't it? Isn't that how it worked?
Yeah.
Am I misremembering it?
No, but because, I feel worse for her for dealing with something else. And we'll wait to get to that one in a minute.
Wait, is that the second to last episode?
No. I interrupted Joey, and now we've veered off on a tangent. Sorry, Joey, continue your line of thought.
One of my favorite things about the show is the character of Charlotte in this, because I actually think that she has a lot of admirable qualities that she doesn't get really good credit for. I think she is a good mother. I think that the most important thing that a parent, well, to me, I'm saying this as somebody who only has a corgi and a cat, but
and that's all you need.
That's all I want. and I think that it did a really good job of showing how Charlotte, who was grown up a specific way, who is someone who is incredibly rigid, almost to the point of being way more rigid than Miranda is in the original series. I think the show did a really good job of showing how she, as a parent, is confused, and how she puts that personal confusion aside for the sake of their child. I thought that was really nice to see, because Charlotte wants to understand, because she wants her child to know that she is loved. And I think that is something that I would honestly love to see Kristen Davis get nominated for an Emmy for this season, because I think she does some really good stuff and she's not getting credit for it.
Agreed.
I think you're right. And I think she does handle, like, I also like that they made the characters, like, question these things and then deal with it. Like, where, like, maybe, like, I know in one episode, she and Harry were very confused by Rock's identity and everything. And they openly question these things. Like, well, I raised them. Like, you were Rose and stuff. And, like, I think that I like that they had make it, like, they're humans. They have, like, it's hard. Change is hard. And that would be hard to raise somebody with one name and then have to change it. And, you know, it's going to be hard. But then they do it and everything, you know, they work through it. And they're, you know, they refer to them as Rock and everything. And I thought that was really beautiful. And the fact that they are allowed to openly question these things and not just accept, like, just be okay, yes, we got it, and like that would be, because I think the point is things are hard, and seeing these characters, life is hard, seeing these characters be able to question it, react, and do so in a loving way is really nice to see.
Mm-hmm. I concur.
Joey, other things that you liked about it, this is your opportunity to save this against the internet.
I think that Sarah Jessica Parker is amazing in this. I think that I kept seeing this one website, like, just propose these questions, you know, every week about and just like that. And one of them was like, when did Carrie get so rich? And I was like, this is the question you're asking?
What?
She
married big.
I was like, are you guys not paying attention? Like, I think the show, I like that they sort of, like, you know, torpedoed the perception of what you think Miranda is going to do. Because, this is the type of character who, you know, she acts a certain way, you know what she's going to do. She's very rigid. She does, you know, a lot of things by the rules, but she's also a very awkward person. I think, because what I've been doing is I've been watching it just like that, and after I watch an episode, I go back and I watch a random Sex and the City episode, or I watch a couple, and it's like, I still love that show. And I think that as much as I don't like a lot of the things that Che, you know, as the character brings to the show, I sort of liked how it freed Miranda up a little bit. Like, I thought it was so interesting that so many people love Miranda originally, and I don't know if these people were watching the new show, and I don't know the people that were watching it and just like that were huge fans of the original show, if that makes sense. But, like, people are just like, Miranda's always been the worst. And I was like, has she? Has she?
I always thought she was the voice of reason.
Well, she was the one who always kept Carrie in check a little bit. Anytime that she had sort of a fanciful thing, she was like, but what about you? You can do this on your own. Like, it doesn't matter what he thinks. How do you feel about certain things? Like, I thought it was so interesting that in the finale, when she's announcing that she's, you know, going to go to L.A. and she's not going to go to Paris with Carrie to spread Big's ashes. The whole time, I kept thinking of when in the final season of Sex and the City, when Carrie's going to go to Paris to be with the Russian, and they get into an argument and they can't see eye to eye. Miranda yells at her, "You're living in a fantasy." And I think that is so interesting to see the two shows side by side with this years, you know, however many years are between them. And the characters are so short-sighted of who they used to be, and they're behaving in such a weird way. I don't know why, but I think that is so, like, I don't think people are giving it enough chance to see the connection between the two in a positive way. They're only focusing on the negative stuff, like, Miranda's not there, Big's dead, it's too sad, it's too this, it's too that. I'm personally really enjoying seeing the connections between the characters and seeing the tethers between them and how sometimes they act a certain way that is very familiar, and sometimes they're, you know, since there are so many years between, they're acting completely crazy. I don't know. That's what something that I love about the show. I don't know. I like a lot about the show, but I guess I'll have to think of some stuff when you guys bring it up.
No, it did. And I just to follow on from that, you know, I bounce a lot of things off my wife who is not, you know, doesn't watch a lot of random TV shows, doesn't plug in herself into the Twitter conversation about these things, hasn't, you know, just a totally I don't want to say ordinary, but just watches TV to watch TV. And she watched this season and, you know, had the same reaction that I did at the beginning. But as we pushed through it, she said she really appreciated the growth in the characters, that they're different, that they're not repeating the same tropes of the original. And I don't think they could, right? Because I don't think you could make Sex and the City today the way that it was. But she did appreciate the maturity, the growth in these three characters and found them to have more depth, honestly. And it's probably mirroring, I would imagine, you know, my wife is roughly the same age of these characters. And I would imagine... which I never failed to remind her that is also the same age of the Golden Girls.
Oh my God, you're terrible.
But it's you know, just reflecting her own journey, maybe.
Yeah. You know. Here, something that I kept thinking of. So many people, I'm sorry. You know, this is like, it's not a reboot. It's a continuation of what the original show is. If you think of all the shows that have either been rebooted or come back, I obviously haven't seen all of them, so maybe there is something else. Of the shows that I have watched and I've tuned into something, you know, that is a continuation of something that I really like, I would prefer a show did something like this than try to just replicate what the original show did.
Or God forbid they rebooted as a straight drama like Bel Air.
I forgot that was happening.
Oof. I haven't seen it, but I'm just like, really? This is not something that needs to be done. Anyway, I don't know if I'm interrupting somebody, forgive me, but I do want to segue into, I don't want to talk about negative things, but I do want to talk about one thing that I really strongly disliked about this show. And it isn't necessarily Che. I actually think in that last episode, Rock, the character of Rock, not the actor, not the child actor, but the character of Rock is such a despicable presence in the show that just absolutely insane. I would say that Rock is far worse than Che any day of the week.
Really? That's interesting. Well, I did think they were annoying at the end with the way they were with their mom. How, like, oh, I don't want to do this now.
Yeah.
But that's, kids are just shits in general, though, is what I thought of that.
I'm just sitting here like, what are you trying to say about this character? Like, what, by those actions, what are you trying to say? Because here you have Charlotte trying to be the perfect mother by going to such great lengths as to find a trans rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
And that character of Rock, they don't want to be anything. They don't want to be non-binary. They don't want to be straight. They don't want to be gay. They don't want to be boy. They don't want to be girl. They don't want to be Christian. They don't want to be Jewish. What are you trying to say?
I think they're ultimately. They're probably trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
But I felt bad for Charlotte just that she had gone to like even just thinking, even if, you know, a nice kid would have been like, oh, mom, I appreciate you doing this for me, but I don't want to be anything, like saying a little bit earlier. But I get what you're saying. That was frustrating because, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
But that's sort of where I left it. I mean, I'm glad to revisit the show. I didn't, you know, people were, and I don't know if you guys felt this too, but people were dissecting it so harshly as to criticize the fact that Carrie's having a podcast and she's taking live listeners on it. Like, just go with it. Like, you know, like I'm sure there are podcasts that take. It's a radio show. I don't know what it was, but it doesn't matter. Is it really, you know, are we watching the show because she's on a podcast? No, we're watching the show because of these people.
I did think that was weird though, because I thought like, I've never listened to a podcast that took live listeners and sure. I don't know how that works. And I guess I've always looked to Sex and the City to be on the cutting edge of things and to be like ahead of me. Cause I felt like they've always been ahead of me, except for that second movie. That's when I realized I was ahead of them. But I just felt like it was weird. Like lots of things just felt off with like, it felt weird that Miranda wouldn't see that, you know, Che is bad and that Carrie doesn't understand podcasts. And, you know, I don't know. There were some things that were just like, well, how did you not, like, I would think Carrie'd be so into podcasts, like as a writer, mm-hmm. as somebody who was always on the like cusp of everything. And that it just felt weird a little bit, but I do think that her having her own podcast next season is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So excited for that.
Yeah.
I don't know that Carrie was so on the cutting edge of everything. I mean, she typed on a typewriter forever. Didn't she? Or is that just...
No, she had like, a laptop.
She had an original Well, if you remember, like, in the original movie, whenever she doesn't know how to work an iPhone because, like, someone... She always had a flip phone. I think that's more about Carrie than, like, the rest of the group as a whole. Like, whenever she was at her wedding and she's like, I need to call big, and Samantha hands her the iPhone. She's like, I don't know how to work that.
I guess, but that was also, I mean,
she,
like, 2008.
Don't you remember when she... That don't was, you like, remember when
the
she
iPhone
got
was only
email
a year
for
old.
The first... When she got... She got on, I'm sorry, okay, then fine, we'll go back a little bit. When she got her first email address and she got an email from Aiden and she ducked from her computer and said, oh my God, can he see me? Or when he was online, excuse me, not an email.
I guess you're probably right. I just thought that you would like, I don't know. As a
but I do think she would be into podcasts, yeah.
Yeah, I just felt like it was weird that like, cause she'd totally given up on her career since she's married now and is with Big, like, she's not writing anymore, and you know.
Yeah, and maybe this is where I filled in the holes a little bit in my head, but I took it to mean that she just kind of stepped back from things and enjoyed being married. And
yeah, you're probably right. Yeah,
and didn't and used that and recognized that things had progressed beyond her Sex and the City column of the early 2000s, and probably had used Che's podcast to try to get back into the world.
Yeah, that's a good summary of that, or so not like that's what it probably happened. I was gonna say the one thing I didn't like is that this tease of will Samantha come back is driving me crazy.
Yeah,
they need to just drop it. They're not
well,
friends
they did
anymore.
Drop
it.
The creator said that she's never coming back.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was an interview with Entertainment Weekly, and they said basically there's too much, like Sarah Jessica Parker, I think, even was quoted as saying too much had gone on. There's been too much bad blood, essentially, and she just can't see it happening.
But no, I mean, like the character, like within the episodes, like the text messaging and stuff. Are we always going to have that? Because that's even kind of like, do we need this?
Yeah, well, it was frustrating for her to – it was frustrating to see her in Paris in the end of the episode – at the end of the season say, I'm coming to see you, and then have her show up in New York a couple of days later and then not reference the fact that she's seen right. their long-lost friend, or, you know, what that transaction was like or what that experience was like. So you have to think she's trying to rebuild that relationship, but are they taking it down a path in which the story will never support? Because are they always going to make Samantha Jones the character on the phone?
Yeah.
Like it's Charlie's Angels.
Or like, what was, and Felicity would always talk to like somebody on, she would record tapes, right? And send them to.
Right.
Do you remember that? Am I the only one who remember this?
No, I do remember it.
And I think Janine Garofalo was the voice. Yeah.
What if we did Samantha, but the voice of Janine Garofalo?
Oh, yeah. What if they just replaced Samantha? What if they just...
But I don't think they'd ever recast her.
I know.
Kim Cattrall said to do that in that famous interview that she had with Piers Morgan, which, by the way, really, Kim, you had an interview with Piers Morgan. She said she's was personally done with the character, and maybe it should be, she's like, it's a great part, have someone else do it. Maybe an African American should do it, or like a Latino person should do it.
To pick up on something Megan said earlier, I do think having Saima sort of in that role, not that she's as is the same exact character as Samantha Jones, but she does fill out for some nicely.
Mm-hmm. She does.
And she offers, I like that there is so much of Carrie, something that the show also does that the original one didn't do was, the original show, it was just the four of them. They didn't have any real successful friendships that were constant. Like, you know, other than like Magda for Miranda or Anthony for, you know, or Stanford, they weren't, they came and went. But this, like, Seema seems like somebody who is not a replacement, but could offer a different perspective, which I appreciate. I love that character so much.
But then what do you think about Charlotte's friend? Because I feel like she's just fluff.
Oh, the other mom at school, the documentary filmmaker.
Is that what she does?
LCW.
Yeah. Wait, LCW is her name?
LCW.
Oh, is that what they call her?
Lisa Todd Wexley, LCW.
Oh, wow, I completely forgot that was her name.
I'm such a faggot. I'm sorry. It's just like...
Which I really like the actress and everything, but I just felt like, I don't know, she just seems like too perfect. Although it was interesting, that episode with her husband where he was like being a pain in the ass. I was kind of like, yeah. And I did like whenever they were running into each other and they're like, we're that couple.
Yeah,
that was good. I think what they've done really successfully with this season, and I think part of the reason that it justifies its existence is broadening the Sex and the City universe to, sorry, Joe, you probably just wet your pants a little bit just to thinking about it as a Marvel Cinematic Universe, but broadening their world to a more inclusive New York-like setting. And it really worked. It did, in some ways, it did feel a little bit artificial, but ultimately, by the end of the season, I felt like it really worked, and I really liked the characters that they had given us.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like Nyla, too, and I think she's really interesting in, like, what she's bringing, and I wonder what's going to happen to her in season two, too.
There is, I think what that LCW does is that it does offer Charlotte, it's kind of interesting. They sort of gave each of the three, I almost said four, but they gave each of the three people like a new sort of anchor almost, because they gave Charlotte LTW, they gave Miranda Shay, and they gave Sarah Jessica Parker's, I'm sorry, Carrie.
Well, they gave Seema, Miranda Nyla.
Yeah. Yeah, that's better. That's a better one. But it's also like they... Charlotte's never really had anybody like that, where she could be a mom and
who understands her too.
The Upper East Side, and they're like LTW has like some of the most stunning clothes on the new show.
She does. I want a nickname like LTW.
Yeah.
MCM.
MCMM. Yeah. You sound like a movie studio.
Yes.
You're Man Crush Monday. There, I've already ruined it for you. You're welcome.
Thanks. I was going to say that was short-lived.
All right. So closing notes. Do we all think that this was a worthwhile season?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
And if I don't, Joey would kill me. No, but I do. I think
I was like, you just want me to yell at you.
I enjoyed it. I looked forward to it every week. And I think it's going to be better in season two. I actually feel like they had to figure some shit out in season one, how the tone was going to be with pacing. I think there were some pacing issues, but I'm hoping that that's sorted out.
Yeah.
All right. So let's
feel about it.
What's that? Hold on, how do I feel? I think it was definitely worthwhile. I think, like I said, I was glad to look. I really like Sarah Jessica Parker. I don't get why people hate her so much. I don't get why she is the punching bag of the world.
Sometimes. I don't either. I just adore her. I think she's great, and I love love the fashion. Love seeing her. Love her walking around in those funky gloves, smoking a cigarette. Like that's my favorite image from the whole first season. I just love it.
It's just totally lost my train of thought. But I think she's so. Oh, now I remember. There was I had a stroke. There was a part in the first episode where I knew Megan watched the first episode, and I was like 3 minutes into the first episode, and I texted her. I was like, she looks amazing. Like I love her so much. I've loved her since I was like 8 years old.
She's just fabulous and wonderful and a great actress. And
it just seems like a really nice person.
Yeah, don't tell Kim Cattrall that, but. Kim Cattrall seems pretty cool too, though, I will say. I think she seems pretty awesome.
All right, let's continue and move on to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. So, Megan, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I feel like I've watched everything now. I'm looking forward to the Oscar nominations. I know that's probably what Joey was going to do. I'm looking forward to How Did This Get Made? Doing the podcast on Kate and Leopold, which I'm really excited to listen to. And I hope they don't rip it apart too much because I love that movie. I think about that movie a lot, actually, especially with one scene toward the end where she's like debating whether to like what she should do and like try to go find Hugh Jackman. And this is Meg Ryan, but it all comes back to Meg Ryan in this podcast. And she like sees all these people talking about superficial things. Like, I'm going to get my eyes lifted. I got to do this and this. And I just remember her like, it was shortly after that she makes the decision to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge to be with Hugh Jackman. And I love that decision that it's like, this world sucks. I'm going back in time. I'm going to go back like 200 years before toilets or whatever. Like the fact that like, I think about that a lot, but so I'm excited for that. I don't know. I'm sure there are shows I need to catch up on. But I need to see Jackass Forever. I think I might go see it this weekend.
I want to see it. I want to see that.
And take care. That's about it here.
Joey?
You mean Golden Globe winning movie, Kate and Leopold? I don't think I own that song anymore, so I'm going to buy it. Yes, I still buy it.
Oh my God,
music.
I have it. Are you kidding?
I'm looking forward to two romantic comedies. One starring Ms. Jennifer Lopez, Marry Me, it comes out on Friday, and I didn't know it was coming to Peacock. Jesus Christ.
But it's also in theaters, right?
It is also in theaters. I was like, really? I was like, I'm not going to let, I'm going to go on a crusade. Maybe I'll go see Marry Me in a theater. And I was like, I'm not going to let it die. Fucking Peacock. And then the other romantic comedy comes out on Amazon, not in theaters. It's called I Want You Back.
That sounds really cute.
Yeah, it's Jenny Slate and, what's his name?
Is it Charlie?
Charlie Day.
Yeah.
He was dating Gina Rodriguez and she was dating Scott Eastwood, and they both get dumped and they decide to like sabotage their new relationships. Like he'll sabotage her.
Like Addicted to Love.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're making
it. Yeah. Like
movie.
Addicted to Love. Addicted to Love, throwback to 97.
Yeah.
But I thought that looks cute. It's Jenny Slate. Scott Eastwood. Oh my Lord. But yeah, those look cute. And then also the Oscar nominations. I'm glad that I can stop having an anxiety attack. And I need people to fucking stop their like stupid dumping on West Side Story. Like, I have this strange feeling. I don't know. I think it's gonna miss Best Picture, guys. It's like, fuck you. Shut up. Not. Get off the internet. Just like.
Yes, I'm incredibly excited for that to happen as well. For just for us to know, there's a comfort in knowing. I mean, yes, we're going to lick our wounds for a little bit, as if it's a personal thing, like you said, Megan, as if we're nominated ourselves.
But,
it's been made into such a game that there is definitely a your team, my team atmosphere, and nobody likes to be on the losing team. But At the end of the day, after all the Oscar dust has settled, West Side Story will remain a very great film. And in time, I think it'll be seen as sort of a masterpiece of modern musicals. But yes, I'm looking forward to the Oscar nominations. I've been watching a little bit of the Olympics.
Oh yeah, me too. I need to catch up on the figure skating and the hockey.
Yeah, we watched until like 1 or 2 in the morning. We watched snowboarding, which I don't know why, but it was just fascinating. And the downhill slalom, I think is that the one where they go zigzagging back and forth really quickly and then hit a ramp and then fly up in the air and do some kind of.
Oh God.
I always like the Winter Olympics better than the Summer Olympics.
Oh, me too. My mom and I were just talking about that because I always hate when people say like Summer Olympics are better. I'm like, no, I'm not.
I've missed. I need to find some YouTube clips of Tara Lipinski and Johnny. What's his face? Johnny Weir.
Johnny Weir.
Yeah.
Weir. I think I read a Twitter. I mean, a tweet. God, I am officially 80 now. I said I read a Twitter. I read a tweet today that said. They were both characters that Catherine O'Hara would play. And that was 100% true.
Yes, that's true.
My wife is also looking forward to the Jennifer Lopez movie, Marry Me. So I will be watching that, I assume, this weekend on Peacock, probably, because we're not going to the theaters. What else? I've been catching up on things, so we're going to plow through Inventing Anna, which does premiere on Friday. And there will be more on that next week once the embargo ends. I have seen Death on the Nile. I do recommend it to people who like just good old-fashioned entertainments. It is not a groundbreaking, mind-blowing Matrix-like experience. It is a very old-fashioned movie made for adults, and I found it so much more entertaining than Murder on the Orient Express. So
did you see the original Murder on the Orient Express?
No.
It's very good. I like that one too.
I'm talking about Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, I figured that's what you were talking about. Yeah. I didn't see that one. Yeah.
Part of the problem that I have with these Agatha Christie movies is so much hinges on the whodunit aspect. So if you know who the murderer is, it's, you know, there's not much there.
Yeah.
But I do recommend that people should go and see that. Seems like there was one other thing. I can't remember. Those are the things I'm looking forward to this week. And the Super Bowl is Sunday. Not that I care about who's playing in it, but it's always good to have on in the background while you eat bad food.
Yeah. I dig that.
Yeah.
How dare you talk about Marry Me and the Super Bowl in one breath?
I still think about the gay Super Bowl party I went to about 5 years ago, which was just me and like my friend Eric and his then boyfriend and a bunch of other homosexuals. And we played the Adele's latest album at the time, didn't put on the TV and just ate food. And I brought a penis cake to the party. It was the gayest Super Bowl party ever. Like, we were like, is it on right now? What's going on?
The big game.
It was wonderful. It was so, I think about that party all the time.
Oh, and I think I mentioned this last week, but if you're not listening to the HBO podcast, The Gilded Age, which is sort of a companion piece to each of the episodes that airs, please do listen to that. I think a new one drops as we're recording tonight, or tomorrow morning at least. It's very good. It's very entertaining. And it's especially informative if you care about history. So,
I want to say that my dad loves the Gilded Age, so he's one of the Gilded Agers with you two.
Well, there was that one. I was watching. I had a screener to episode 3, and I was watching it like when I was. It was like a weekday, and I was messaging Clarence, who has seen the first 5 episodes, and I'm playing catch up. And it's you know, something happens at the end of episode 3 that's going on. I'm not going to say what it is because it's going on right now. And then I was like frantically messaging him. I was like, is this going to happen? He was like, just watch it. And I was like, but it might happen. Like the music is swelling and I don't know what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, like the thing happened. I was like, it happened. He's like, yeah, it did.
You need to tell me offline what happened.
Okay.
You wouldn't know because you just watched the first episode, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you met this character that's involved.
Oh, you can just explain it to me quickly.
Okay.
All right. So does it cover it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3 M's, contributors Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.